This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The big story of the night is there are no NBA games tonight, and we don't know when the sport will be returning, as the Milwaukee Bucks did boycott their game tonight against the Orlando Magic in response to the shooting of Jacob Blake seven times in the back by a police officer in Wisconsin. And the NBA players tonight elected not to play. Three games postponed. We don't know if the games will happen tomorrow. And we head out to the hotline right now, and we do welcome in the radio play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Clippers, and that, of course, is Noah Eagle. Noah, appreciate you doing this. How you been?
I've been well, Zach. How about you?
Doing all right. You know, it's obviously a difficult show tonight, and we're trying to figure out what's the next step. So let me first just start you off. When you heard about this first today, that the Bucks weren't going to play, and shortly after that, the two other games were postponed, what was the first reaction?
I thought it was amazing. I really did. I felt like this is a benchmark moment. This is a historic moment in sports, in the world. And it's something, it's one of those where I think for years to come, generations, centuries, decades, whatever you want to say, to come, people are going to be able to say, where were you when the Bucks boycotted and set off the domino reaction? We're seeing it through the NBA. In Major League Baseball, we'll see how far it really stretches, but it has been, I know I tweeted this out earlier, the NBA, their slogan, where amazing happens. This was amazing. This is a completely new territory we've never seen before, that a team that is one of the front runners to win the NBA championship this year, that has put in tireless hours of work to try to get to that one goal that they have set for themselves. Giannis Antetokounmpo is one of the most driven players, if not the most driven player in the NBA. And talking to a lot of his former teammates, they say that his mentality is stronger and crazier than anybody else they've been around. And for somebody like that to potentially risk just dropping a playoff game, it speaks volumes to these players, what they believe in, and the stance they're trying to take, which has been really cool to see.
We've been getting this conversation tonight, Noah, of what is the end goal and what will happen moving forward here. Because if you boycott one game, what does it really accomplish other than 24, 48 hours of conversation all around the country? And I'm conflicted on this because I think playing, you have a lot of players using their platform. But then if you get out of the bubble, players could off the court do great things like we saw in the protests after the tragic murder of George Floyd. What do you feel about this right now? Do you think we'll see another NBA game this year? Because if I had to pick right now, Noah, I kind of have a feeling maybe this is in the moment that this could be it for playoff basketball this year.
You know, Zach, my gut would tell me that we will have a conclusion of the season. But I would also say that there's a very good chance the other way, that this could be the end. The reason that I sway in that direction is just because of the sacrifices that these guys have already had to make in the bubble. They've been there for months. They've been away from their friends and families. A lot of the teams who feel that they were going to advance, and some of which already did in the Eastern Conference, have invited their close friends, families, loved ones to the bubble, and they've been quarantining already. So you've got people outside that are there and getting ready to enter the bubble in the next week. You've got players who have been in solitaire and just kind of figuring it out and finding their way through this brand new experiment and experience, and it's been so successful in terms of the COVID aspect of it. And so I think that a lot of these players, my guess is at this meeting, which is supposed to be taking place in the next few minutes on the campus of Disney World in Orlando, amongst all the players that are present there, my guess is that it's going to be pretty split down the middle of the decision of those who want to stay and those who want to go. And it is worth noting that every player can make a decision for themselves. So if the collective group decides we want to continue playing, that doesn't mean that every single person has to stay. They can continuously opt out as this experience goes on. But if I had to guess, I think there will be enough support in favor of continuing to play when the time is right. And I think that's the key. And we don't know exactly when that is. We don't know exactly what needs to happen in terms of this is what we're looking for so we can return to play. But my guess, my gut feeling, and again, it's just speculation, would be that we will have a champion at some point this season.
I think the real remarkable part about today, Noah, is like what you mentioned, as we're joined by Noah Eagle right now, how players have been grinding all throughout the season, and they had their season interrupted by COVID-19. They're back in the bubble, and they've had to make sacrifices, and they've been wanting to get into the playoffs, and now they're here, and then they're willing to sit out because of a bigger issue at hand. But the neat part here to me was this was truly a player's decision today. They didn't let ownership step in, and ownership of the Bucks were supportive. They didn't let the commissioner and Adam Silver try to persuade them to play. They kept this discussion pretty private, and then right before the game said, we're not going to play. And I think that was something very remarkable. They didn't let any outside factors, maybe money-driven, get in the way of this. They did what they really thought was right.
The NBA is really special, and for a number of reasons. Obviously, the product on the court is among the best we've ever seen it in league history. But off the court and what the league has built with Adam Silver at the helm, you have to give a lot of credit to Adam Silver for what he's done in his position from day one. One of the first, I think it was the first week he was on the job in 2014, was the Donald Sterling issue with the former Clippers owner and the racist remarks that came out from directly his mouth. And Adam Silver did not shy away from the moment. He took the podium, he took the stand, and he banned him for life. That was a radical move, but the right move at the time, and it set the precedent for the rest of his tenure as commissioner of this league. And he has followed through time and time again. Any sort of adversity, he seems to do the right thing. So when COVID-19 first started to spread, without hesitation, he decided to postpone the rest of the season. And of course, you look now, the last 5 months, he worked diligently, tirelessly, educating himself in every possible manner to make sure that this experience in the bubble in Orlando is going to work. And I think that this is no different. He knows that these players have a voice, and he knows that their voices deserve to be heard. And he understands that while it's not ideal financially, maybe it's not ideal in terms of scheduling or whatever else it might be, this is more important right now in the terms of just the world and what's happening and a human being, human race issue. And I will say this, Zach, this is just from my own perspective, but so what today is what, Wednesday. On Sunday, game four of our series in the Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks, Luka Doncic hits this incredible 28-foot buzzer-beating shot in overtime to beat our Clippers. And as the voice of the Clippers, I'm hanging on every play. And we thought with 9 seconds left and then with 4 seconds left that the Clippers had that game won in overtime after Marcus Morris hit that big shot. It was a roller coaster of a game. My emotions were all over the place. And after that shot from Luka went in, I was physically hurt. I really was, as every fan was, I'm sure every Clipper fan across the country was as well. And I went home, and it stuck with me the rest of the day. That shot was playing over and over in my head. And I went to sleep, and I woke up, and I figured it was going to be the only thing on my mind the rest of the day. And I woke up, and I clicked on my phone on Monday morning, and I saw the video from Wisconsin. And immediately, my perspective changed once again, where I remembered, and I think that was the most important thing for me. Like, I didn't think about the Luka shot again until I had to get ready for game number 5, which was yesterday. All I could think about is, how in the world can I care enough about sports when somebody is getting shot 7 times in the back with their kids watching, when all they were doing was trying to break up a fight between other people? Like, that, to me, it at least gave me that perspective of, yes, sports are great, and I love it, and it's helped to provide a life for me, and it's been amazing from day one of my time on this earth. But I can never forget that it's only sports. It's only a game at the end of the day, and that is far more important than your team losing on a buzzer beater in overtime.
Noah Eagle here with us for a few more minutes. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It's been very powerful to hear players and coaches speak what's on their mind. What did you make of Doc Rivers' comments? Because I thought he hit the nail right on the head.
Everybody who heard Doc, and whether or not you've heard him speak on these issues before or not, I think the thing you have to remember is he's got one of the most interesting and unique perspectives of any human being. Forget coach, forget athlete, and he's a former athlete. He's a current coach, a former broadcaster. He's held a ton of titles. Forget everything that he's accomplished. Let's just look at his upbringing and his life. So he grew up in Chicago. His father was a police officer. His father was a cop, and he's told us several stories about his dad working as a cop in Chicago. And his dad, he still, as Doc said last night, and he's told us before, he still had to sit him down and explain to Doc, hey, this is how it is for black men in America, for black people in America, and you need to be wary of that every day of your life. So that's already the start. During his playing career, he finished his career in San Antonio, and Doc's house in San Antonio was burned down because he was a black man with a white woman, and they had kids together. And it was burned down. His house was quite literally burned as a result of it. So I think his perspective is about as educated, because he educates himself every single day on social issues more than just basketball. He's all over the map, and he's got fantastic and insightful opinions about everything. And what we saw last night was raw emotion. And I think that's what, while I get to see it maybe behind the scenes and the rest of us that work with the team might get to see it, that's what people across the country, across the world got to see. And the only other time they've seen that this year was the night that Kobe passed away, and we saw Doc completely break down in front of the media. And I think that's what made it so powerful. But his words were absolutely spot on, as they always are. This is the type of man that just always seems to find the right words, and it's been molded by his experience, both growing up and then in San Antonio and through his entire 58 years on this earth. He's experienced more than most people do in three lifetimes. And so you see that come to the forefront, and you realize, man, this is so much bigger than sports. This is just a human being issue. And if we can focus on this right now with this, I guess, spotlight on this bubble, it makes it all that much more better.
No, Eagle, when we get back to Adam Silver, and this is probably the biggest point in his tenure, not probably, definitely the biggest point in his tenure. If the players emerge from this meeting tonight and they feel like they don't think it's right to continue playing, do you believe that the Board of Governors and the commissioner would be accepting of that, especially with how you mentioned earlier, how Adam Silver has done, probably compared to the other sports, he's put the greatest emphasis on letting players' voices be heard. Would you think they would be accepting of that decision if that's what the players make?
I do, and obviously I can't speak with 100% conviction on this answer, but at least just what I know, and having met Commissioner Silver a couple of times and knowing him based on what I hear from guys like Doc Rivers and Steve Ballmer, I just believe that he's going to support and put his full support behind these players 100% no matter what. And so if they come together as a group, then that's what it's going to be. They're going to have to come together as a group, which it seems like they will do tonight. If they do, and they've discussed and they've gone through everything, and I do think they're going to include him in the discussions. It's not going to be, we've decided this and this is how it is. I think that they will come to a decision as a group, and then they will go to Adam Silver. They will go to the Board of Governors. They will go to their coaches and their staff and go down the list and make sure everybody's on board. But I do think that Adam Silver will put his support in what the players decide as a unit. And if that is to continue playing, he'll say, great, just tell us when you feel comfortable doing so, and we'll do it. If that is to basically push the next season and wash this one away, he will say, okay, then how can we focus on bettering the country, bettering the world? What can we do to help? he's just, that's the type of guy he is. And as I mentioned earlier, he's as well-educated, well-read, and well-connected as anybody that you'll find. And he makes sure to use every possible resource he can so that any decision he makes makes the most sense. And that's what's so impressive about him. He listens, he makes sure that he reads, and he goes and he acts on all of those things.
I know you said that you believe the season will continue. Do you think you'll be calling a game tomorrow? Because I have a tough time seeing basketball being played tomorrow.
So I don't have any official word, but it just, again, my gut feeling would be no. I would say what we saw today was powerful. I think the teams tomorrow, at very minimum, will follow suit. And then after that, it will remain to be seen. And I would say the biggest thing I can stress is you should not be having players play and putting their bodies, their minds on the line if mentally they're not there, if they don't feel like they can play. And that was a big emphasis for us, for the Clippers, because one of our go-to guys, Montrezl Harrell, sixth man of the year candidate, he was dealing with a great loss in his life during this whole experience. He missed all 8 seeding games because of the passing of his grandmother. And his grandmother was the one person in his life who gave him put the basketball in his hand when he was younger, somebody who influenced him as much as anybody on this earth. And the one thing that Doc Rivers kept telling us, because I know a lot of people were antsy to try to get him back in the fold, he kept saying you can't bring somebody back onto the court if mentally they're not ready. And I think that's the biggest key for all of these guys. You do not want to put them in harm's way if they're not mentally all there, because that can be a problem. And so whenever the players are mentally ready to get back to basketball, if they decide that's what's best for them, I think we'll see it back on the court.
I want to get to 2 basketball points before we let you run another trivial on a day like this. But with the bounce back performance from Paul George last night, what was your biggest takeaway from what he was able to do?
He was just much more aggressive, Zach. And I think that's what was so puzzling for us through the first 4 games, really games 2 through 4. He played well in game 1. But games 2 through 4, he wasn't doing what Paul George does, which is attack, attack, attack. And Doc Rivers told him yesterday before the game, you either take 20 shots or don't even bother playing, pretty much. He said, we want you taking a minimum of 20 shots. And you saw in the first quarter alone, I think he had 6. He had 9 points in the first, 9 in the second, 9 in the third, 8 in the fourth. So in limited minutes, 25 minutes, I believe he played, and he had 35 points. So he just looked a lot more aggressive. He looked a lot more sure of himself. And if he's going to play like that and the season does resume and the Clippers can continue to try to make this run and he can be consistent like that, which we all know he can be, and we all believe within the Clippers organization that he will be, it just makes that team so dangerous, because Kawhi Leonard's going to be Kawhi Leonard. You know what you're going to get out of the Claw. He's had 4 straight 30-point games, and in game 1 he played excellent as well. So if Paul George is now Paul George that is the all-star, the MVP candidate, forget it. The 2-1-3 connections, we like to call them, are so scary and so hard to handle on both ends.
Was the Morris step on Luka intentional in your mind?
No, I don't think so. And that's just me knowing Marcus a little bit and getting to know him as a person. Genuinely very good dude, and one of the better dudes, I would say, that I've been around. He's just somebody who goes with the flow. And here's a great example of, I think that we all get caught up in the heat of the moment, and Marcus is definitely somebody who's very competitive and wants to win at all costs. But here's all you need to know about his type of character. He's somebody that's willing to do whatever it takes for the betterment of the team. And so he was one of the guys who was right there with PG when he was struggling and making sure he could pick him up. He has senior on the back of his jersey because he says that being a father means more to him in this world than anything, even playing in the NBA no matter what, because he didn't grow up with that figure in his life. And so that's the type of guy you're dealing with. And we'll put the cherry on top with this. Doc Rivers told us, I think it was in game 3, I want to say, where Doc said, I want to put Kawhi on Luka. And Marcus went right up to Doc in that timeout and said, don't do that. He said, why? He goes, because he might pick up a couple of fouls and he's much more valuable than me. Let me pick him up. And if I get a couple of fouls, that's okay. At least Kawhi gets to stay in the game. That's the type of player he is. He's the type of person he is. He's willing to sacrifice himself or whatever it is for the betterment of the group. And so just knowing him and his personality just off the court, I could not see him doing that. And I think he even made the point on Twitter, as I mentioned, he's such a big proponent of being a father and being a great example for his kids. He made the point that his kids are always watching him, and if he did that in front of his kids, he would never be able to forgive himself. So just knowing all of that and kind of factoring it into the equation, I just can't see him doing that with ill intent. But we'll never know.
Most important question I'm going to ask you, final one with Noah Eagle. Did you guys shoot the new holiday card for this year? Because you guys always have the best family holiday card.
No. I have not been included in the holiday card. I don't know.
They squeezed you out? You're not in the holiday card anymore?
I think I'm out. I don't know if we're doing it. Are we doing it? I'm going to have to check in on what the holiday card update is that. But we've had some good ones in the past. I think my mom has done some of her best work, and I think she's worried she's not going to be able to top herself. So I'll have to check in.
So you're saying mom's past her prime?
I don't know about that.
I'm just playing. No, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
You got it, Zach. Be good.
I'm telling you, the Eagle family, year after year, has the best holiday card. And I know Noah's entire family, his mom, and obviously his dad, Ian Eagle, everyone knows. But that holiday card each and every year, they must spend a lot of coin to produce that holiday card. It's that good.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.